He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
I feel the colours are gone somewhere. The green and red, it all leads me up there. And I can feel that I'm taking flight.
And I was just been cruising in rags. So, like, it's been nice to actually come up here and get busy with music a bit more, you know.
Well, most of us are here trying to get out of Auckland, to move to places like Raglan. You've just moved up here.
Yeah, I know. Seems like a mistake, really, eh?
But, already? How long have you been here?
No, it's good. It's been amazing. I've only been here a week and a half.
Kia ora, this is Voices.
Do you think you're going to miss the surf, though?
Yeah, I went to Piha yesterday, and, like, no shade on Piha, but, like rags, man. It's kind of...
I'm Kadambri Raghukumar, and today I'm talking to Muroki, who's clearly still getting used to Auckland after nearly most of his life in Raglan. He just moved up a couple of weeks ago.
It's only a matter of time. You'll probably never want to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been great. I've been so busy while I'm up here. That's the main thing that I'm stoked on. You know, it's just so much going on.
Muroki's 20, and things have happened pretty fast for him. He's the first artist to get signed on to Benny's label, Olive Music. It's Friday afternoon, and we're at an antique shop where he's filming a live session with his band for the label. Most people know him for his massive song Wavy, but there's a ton more to him that I wanted to get to know, so I'm grabbing the chance while they set up for the shoot.
You've got Kenyan background. Did that have anything to do with, you know, sort of your interest in music or the kind of influences that you've grown up with?
Well, I guess so, yeah, for sure. A lot of it is influenced from Africa, like just like rhythmically. But I also grew up playing a lot of capoeira. Like my mum was a caterer at this... like capoeira Angola, like camp, Easter camp that they do like every year, and they just, you know, play lots of Brazilian like samba rhythms and lots of that, and like, I don't know, it somehow found its way into my music. But I was always like really stoked on the musical side of things. Like, I've got all the percussion things now. I still don't have a bidimbal. I've been looking for one of those. We used one of them actually in. I managed to track one down for the Wavy video. So I was like, oh yeah, man, let's have like a samba jam beforehand. I managed that and found a couple of Brazilians to kind of lead that.
I feel the colours are gone somewhere. The green and red, it all leads me up there.
When Wavy came out in summer this year, things got busy. But not long ago in his past life, things were pretty cruisy.
I was working at Rag and Roast. It's like a little coffee store. I was doing that for about 4 years. And, you know, it was a good job. Like, they were pretty lenient, flexible. To be fair, I probably wasn't the best employee, but like, I slept in a couple of times, let's just put it like that.
But that wasn't your calling, though, was it?
No.
And neither was it being a tree planter.
No, I definitely failed at the tree planting, let's put it like that. You make a certain amount of money each tree you plant. Unfortunately, I wasn't that fast at planting trees. I was the slowest out of the team, but that's all good. I still made a bit of cash. Maybe.
Well, a year and a half later, after all of that's happened, has there been any sort of seriously overwhelming kind of points in this last 1.5 years? I mean, so much has happened so fast for you.
Yeah, it's all been pretty nuts, eh, really? It's crazy because, like, you know, with all this COVID, it seems like the hardest time for people to kind of come up in music. Like, I've just completely lucked out with shows. Like, I've only missed like 4 now, like, over, and that was coming up to the summer. So, you know, like, that's
timing's been
just unreal. Like, I feel just unbelievably blessed of everything has just worked out. So yeah, it's been crazy. And then we had like Wavy did pretty well, and that was like, you know, I haven't had a song do like get on the radio. It's like a little earworm now for people, can't get away from me, it seems.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's kind of about a girl, but yeah, this is, it's more, to be fair, it's actually about a mushroom trip.
In terms of songs, you know, you get asked so much about Wavy and probably now Light Me Up as well.
You've got
the popular ones there.
Yeah.
But is there something in that whole repertoire that sort of really sits with you at a different level?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I think this is the thing, eh, with music. You have focus tracks when you release things. So, you know, people, they will decide to push, you know, kind of one track, focus on that because they know, like, you know, the radios might like it. And they, you know, all these, like, it's most likely going to do well, you know, out of the bunch. So, but throughout that EP, the Dawn EP, it really runs over a lot of topics. Like, it goes from, a lot of it was, you know, like, navigating relationships with people as I've been kind of coming up on this musical thing, you know.
Pick up the phone.
Yeah, and then, you know, some running over depression, like mates with depression, and what is people, you know, family members. And then, you know, obviously the old love song here and there. So, yeah, it does it, like, it's really, I feel like it's quite broad. Yeah, like people kind of look to the singles and they kind of know you from the singles, but like if you look a little deeper, you'll find some some kind of sadder or maybe more in-depth songs about my personal life.
The tougher stuff.
I guess, yeah, the tougher stuff is like, oh, yeah, I guess you are kind of really putting yourself out there. But, you know, by the time, like, that's the gold stuff, you know. That's what makes the... I always say, like, the real story is the best songs, you know, like, because they actually, you're actually feeling what you're singing. Could have someone who holds you at
night. Oh, you're gonna need it. So what was it like growing up in Raglan? I often wonder, because was that sort of where you kind of began producing at, what, 14 or 15
yeah.
or something like this?
Yeah, so there, it was kind of at high school when I started. Like, I started doing the production kind of thing, but I was playing guitar. My grandmother actually got me a guitar. I had a couple of great guitar teachers, and one in Raglan, his name was Nicky Keys, and then
from the Cornerstone Roots?
Yeah. He's from Cornerstone. Yeah, and we just kind of jammed out, and he's like, he's partially blind as well, so like he can't see you very well. So we it was really great actually, because I felt like with those lessons it was so much more about feeling, like getting actually the feeling of playing rather than, like, you know, reading notations or like tablature and all that. It was more about just like I'd kind of got to a point where we could just start jamming, you know, and that was like that was like we're actually having those were the fun practices, you know, when you're just playing together. Like, yeah, it was real sick. Then also this another one, Peter Scandera, he was teaching at Hamilton Boys High, so I was there for I went there for a couple of years, like traveling for high school, and that's kind of when I started like doing the production sorts of things as well.
Places like the Yacht Club, they're a bit sort of, you know, iconic on the music scene,
in terms
of people cutting their teeth as musicians there
You
know, established artists playing there. It must have been quite a scene for you to grow up there.
Definitely. Like, it was pretty funny because when we, especially for the Yacht Club, when we started playing, you know, I think I did my first gig there when I was 15. And so, like, you know, obviously I was underage. So we'd have to play, like, before 10 o'clock. And then, you know, we'd open for a band and then we'd get kicked out after. We were not allowed to, like, stay in. You know, like, and you have to have your parents there and everything. So, yeah, but it was good. Like, yeah, like probably one of the best places to be raised at, in my own opinion. Just, like, tons of things to get up to as a young buck.
Yeah. What are you listening to these days?
What am I listening to? Should we have a look?
Yeah, go on.
Lots of Tom Misch. Lots of... Mata Tike, Bad Meditation album, I think that one, like, it's one of my favourite albums to come out of this country, I reckon. Bit of Billie Eilish as well, because Tom Misch and Yusuf Days, that What Kind of Music album is, like, yeah, it's one of my favourites, I reckon. And tons of Anderson .Paak. I have been digging that Silk Sonic album I've just released. That one's very groovy.
Anyone in particular in New Zealand that you'd really like to sort of have a collab with?
Kimbra, she's really, like, she's amazing. Yeah, I think she's got some crazy vocal production. Lord Echo? That would be sick.
Do you feel a lot of pressure these days? I mean, compared to, you know, when you started out and you were just sort of making music for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And now, do you feel like you've got a... Are you feeling pressure?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it's good, though.
It's good pressure, not bad pressure.
Yeah, it's good pressure. Like, there's been times where I'm like, oh, God, it's too much. Like, there's too much going on. I really need to finish something here. Or, like, sometimes maybe I got a little excited on the first night of tour. We maybe had a couple of beers, you know, and then, like, after the show, and then, you know, you got to travel and then play the next show, and you're like, oh, man, that was a mistake.
So you're learning quickly.
I've made it a rule now. I'm like, no beers on the first night of tour, right? So, you know, just leave it for the last show. Sometimes, you know, with labels and managers and, you know, so many people involved working on your music, you do feel a bit of pressure from that because everyone else is putting in so much work into it. And, you know, and then, you know, I'm like, oh, is it good enough? Is it, you know, like you start like that whole, you know,
self-criticism.
Yeah,
sort of
self-criticism comes into play quite a bit. But then, you know, I've kind of just come to realize it actually doesn't matter. You know, if I like it, it's sweet.
Are you kind of quite comfortable with how you sound and where you're at right now?
Yeah, I guess, like, it's really weird with music because, like, I'm constantly writing songs and the, like, obviously I've got my voice and the way I play guitar and, like, you know, a certain style, but there's, you know, my music taste, as I feel, is quite broad, so I'll be making something completely different to what, you know, people are hearing right now. I guess for me, I guess the job is to just play music, you know, do things like these, and then, you know, like, the most uncomfortable I get, I reckon, is probably, like, talking between songs on stage. But, yeah, no, I'm slowly starting to become more and more comfortable with the whole thing. It's a bit weird, like, yeah, it's different, but it's good.
Maroki at his first live recording session in Auckland since he's moved up. And that's Voices today with me, Kadambri Raghukumar. Each week I produce stories on music, society, culture and more. So if you like what you hear, follow us on Spotify and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as RNZ_voices. So show us some love there too. Today's episode was engineered by Flo Wilson. I wanna see you dancing for some
time. Shout out to Junk and Disorderly for letting us use your storage unit.
Yeah, literally a unit.
Yeah. Create some, we're covered in boxes for the visual thing, if you're all listening. There's some nice old, there's a spade here. Kind of Russian doll looking thing.
Some Chinese porcelain.
Yeah, that looks nice.
I think there's a fan.
All sorts of goods.
Red box there.
Yeah, it's got crazy, like, smuggers board tray here. Heaps of vinyls. Yeah, it's great.